A few years ago at a Denver airport, an overbooked Delta flight was canceled, and one gate agent was left for taking care of 250 people that needed to rebook. Oddly enough, it was going fairly well, and there was a long line of people, though, and she was working away at each one of them, and then this man broke from the line and went right up to the front of the desk and pushed the people who were there away, slapped his ticket down on the counter and said, "I have got to be on this flight and it has to be first class." The gate agent picked up his ticket and handed it back to him and said, "Sir, I think that we can help you, but you need to wait your turn just like everyone else and then I will get to you." And he wasn't having it. He said, "Do you know who I am?" And without even hesitating, the woman got on her PA system and said, "Attention in the terminal, we have a man here who doesn't know who he is. If you could help him, please come to gate 17. And the guy said some choice words and then walked away. We all know people like that, though, right? People who say, "Do you know who I am?" It often happens in churches, too, unfortunately. People who think of themselves pretty highly. And it's a problem ultimately with their heart. They're too wrapped up in themselves. They view themselves as greater than everyone else, and if you're not serving them, then you're doing something wrong. They're too wrapped up in themselves. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to get at today in our gospel lesson. So if you take out your Bible or your phone, you get to use your phone twice in service today, or your phone or your bulletin, whatever else it is, we're going to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, starting at verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the scribes, the chief priests, and the elders, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Now let's just stop right here. We know that he's talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection, right? Which is a huge tenet of our faith. Without a crucifixion, without a resurrection, we would have no need to be here this morning. But Peter doesn't get that. In verse 22, Peter takes him aside and begins to rebuke him or challenge him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But then Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Now, as I read that over and over this week, I thought to myself, what does Jesus mean when he says this? And I think what he's saying to Peter is, you're too wrapped up in yourself. You're too wrapped up in yourself. And that's hard. I mean, Peter is a disciple, and Peter's a good guy. There's nothing wrong with him, but Peter has time and time again shown that he doesn't get it. And we may take Jesus saying, "Get behind me, Satan," as just Jesus having a bad day and pass over it. But Jesus is really trying to get at what the problem is with Peter's heart. It's inwardly focused. Peter responds in this way, not because he doesn't trust Jesus, but because he's too inwardly focused. And if he can't wrap his mind around something, then he's going to reject it. Makes a lot of sense, right, to all of us. And Peter shows our hearts as well. I mean, the crucifixion, the resurrection, they are key tenets to our faith, but old Pete just didn't get it because old Peter was focused on himself. So Jesus, in response to this, he looks at his disciples and he gives them a lesson. If you look at verse 24, this is key. And Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Hard words to hear. Hard words. Because ultimately what Jesus is telling his disciples, what Jesus is telling Peter, and what Jesus is telling you and me is to quit being so wrapped up in yourself. And that's difficult because what it means to deny yourself, what it means to take up your cross, what it means to lose your life for the sake of Jesus is that you don't get to focus on just you anymore, which is very countercultural. I mean, think about it. Our culture, your culture, has said time and time again that you should do whatever you want, that if something makes you happy, that you should buy it. And if you don't believe me, go to a Goodwill. You know what that, why they have all that stuff? It's crap that people bought because it made them happy, and then they gave it back, and then other people buy it because they think it's going to make them happy. I believe that everything that's in Goodwill has been there at least 4 or 5 times, okay? Our culture has said that you should do whatever you want. That if it makes you feel better, go for it. If it's going to get you further ahead in life, then you do it. So in your business practice, when you want a promotion, what do? You step on other people to get the hand up. Do whatever you want, because it's all about you, right? Maybe you're sitting there thinking, though, that I have wrongly accused you, that I don't know who you are and that you don't struggle with this at all. And so I'll give you that. But let's do an assessment real quick. Let me ask you a few questions. In your marriage or romantic relationship, do you find that you prefer to be right rather than to be kind? Wives, if your husband comes in at, and I'm picking on wives right now because I always pick on men, but wives, if your husband comes to you and say, will you unload the dishwasher, and you say back to him, I unloaded it yesterday, and he responds, no, I didn't, nor no, you didn't, I did, and she goes, no, idiot, I told you I unloaded it yesterday, I know what I'm talking about. Is it more important to be right than it is to be kind? What about in your parenting? When your kid doesn't do something that you want, do you struggle with patience? Struggle with patience? When your kid comes to you after you told them to do something and you say, and they ask you why, do you respond, because I said so? Do you ever shame your kids for what they do wrong? You ever say to your kids, I would have never done that as a kid, as though you were perfect and holy? You ever do that? What about in your work and family relationships? Do you always have to have the last word in? If somebody shoots down your idea, do you struggle with the fact that you just want to withdraw from it altogether? Because if it's not your idea, then you don't want to have any part in it, because they obviously don't know what's right for them. What about in your money? You a little greedy with your money? You find yourself spending money that you don't have on things you don't need to impress people you don't care about? Every day. Does your money only impact you? Admit it, folks. You're wrapped up in yourself. And so am I. And that's what's hard about it. So we know we're wrapped up in ourselves. We know that we have a problem, and we struggle with this idea of self-sovereignty. And self-sovereignty means that we want to be our own king. We want to be our own Lord. We want to be our own Savior, but that doesn't work. If you've ever tried that for a period of time, you realize that you crash and burn, that when things fall apart, you're just left there picking up the pieces because you don't know what else to do because you're not God. But you want to play him. You like thinking you are, right? I like thinking I am. So when you view yourself as number one and think that you can also follow Jesus, you are sadly mistaken, because there can only be one number one in your life, and it's either you or Jesus. Can't be both. See, the most difficult part in our lives that we face is not so much thinking more about God, it's about thinking less of ourselves. I'm not saying that you should do this in an unhealthy way and mutilate yourself or anything like that, because we need to have a good self-image. What I'm saying is that you need to view yourself in the proper position in life, which is following Jesus, not trying to lead him. And that's what Jesus talks about to Peter when he says, get behind me. He means it. Get behind me and follow. Don't try and lead. Get behind me. Your biggest problem in life is not going to be to think more of God, but to think less of yourself, which means getting rid of this false idea of self-sovereignty and self-sufficiency and self-dependency, self-control. Not self-control, that's a good thing. Self-reliance. But it's hard. See, because you want to be your own God. And that's what Adam and Eve struggled with, whether they knew it or not. I've often heard it said, we wouldn't if we could obey the first commandment, you shall have no other gods, then we wouldn't need the other nine. And yet constantly, throughout what we say and what we do, through what we fail to say and what we fail to do, we lord ourselves up as the Lord over all creation. And we're not. That's not our place to sit. So we're sitting here wondering, what do I do next? But Jesus is the solution. See, God sent down his only son. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under a guy named Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. You confess this every weekend. And then he was raised. And we take that lightly, but I want you to quit taking it lightly because this is important. And each one of you has experienced this death and resurrection in your life. How? It's through baptism. It's through baptism. And most of you can't remember it because a lot of you were probably baptized as babies. I was raised Baptist, so I was baptized when I was 13. But looking now, there is a scriptural way to view baptism, and it's all stuff that Jesus does for you. In baptism, you are killed and made alive, that the old man goes down and the new man is raised up, that because of Jesus Christ, you get to experience new life. This isn't a statement of faith. Baptism is not a statement of faith. It's not this thing where you proclaim your faith in front of people. It's not a public declaration. It's a sacrament. That means that God gives something to you. God gives his grace to you. You're not giving anything to God. And that's beautiful. That God does this for you every moment of every day. He reminds you of your baptism. He reminds you, you are dead. That old person is dead, and I've raised you to new life. Baptism is the only thing that kills and makes alive. The only thing. And yet we still struggle. So many of us here are baptized, and yet we still struggle to live that Christian life. We still struggle to not be so wrapped up in ourselves. And I'll tell you why. Because we're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So what do? Say, here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. That's why I chose that hymn, Come Thou Fount today, because it describes so beautifully our human condition, that even though Jesus loves us, and even though we've experienced God's grace, that that old man inside of us is constantly trying to raise its ugly head and draw us from the cross back into ourselves. Back into ourselves. And so how do you bind your hearts to God? Well, you took the first step this morning when you came to church. See, when you walk through those doors, Jesus Christ bound your heart to him. When you come up to the Eucharist today and take the body and blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus bounds your heart to him. When you pray, Jesus bounds your heart to him. When you were baptized, Jesus bound your heart to him. When you live in service towards others, Jesus bounds your heart to him. And what you start to realize is that this is nothing that you're doing. This is all Jesus. That Jesus empowers you through the Holy Spirit to come to church or to do good or to do whatever else. But at the core of each and everything that you do is Jesus. Jesus. You are called by God to be different because of your baptism. And it's so beautiful. And as part of your baptism, God gives you a mission. And in every church, they have different mission statements. They're all the exact same when it comes down to it. To love God, to love others, and to make disciples. Connect, grow, and serve. However you want to put it. But we can't do that mission when we're wrapped up in ourselves. Can't. So I ask you to say this with me today, or you don't have to say it, but listen. Here's my heart, God. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. My heart is broken. It's filled with self-serving desires. and it's focused in on itself, but I know that this broken heart can be made whole by Jesus Christ, and that through baptism, he did make it whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as you go throughout your week and you see how God is pulling you, I want you to think about, where is God calling you to be less wrapped up in yourself and more wrapped up in him? And as you look at that, I want you to never forget that Jesus loves you. So do I. Amen. Please rise.